In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We read from the second matinal gospel tonight from St. Mark. And when you read the matinal gospels, look for details. It's especially important in the matinal gospels, the 11 gospels that we read in series throughout the year on Sunday. Look for the details, because the details tell you really beautiful spiritual nuggets. Now, there's lots of details in all the gospel stories, and nothing is wasted. Sometimes just one word can really elucidate something very clearly if you look at it with a spiritual eyes. But this is especially true in the gospels that we read in matins on Sunday. So really, I want to talk about details today. If you do not know the story that well because you don't read it that often or because you don't hear it that often in matins, then that is a hill that you've got to get over in order to really get to the details. You have to understand the story well and sort of the chronology of what happened so that you don't get confused, because the way the evangelists tell it, it's very confusing, and it can get people tripped up. So you have to know the story well by reading the Gospels over and over. But then you can kind of plumb the depths of these Gospels, which are read more than any other Gospels of the entire Scripture, because we read them repeatedly. Every 11 weeks we read the same Gospel again. So that's quite a bit that we repeat them. There's a reason for that, and it's the details. So, the Sabbath is past, and Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, have bought myrrh and sweet spices, and they're going to anoint him. And then, as they're going along early in the morning, on Sunday morning, with the rising of the sun, they say amongst themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" That is a big detail. How are they going to get it done? It took strong men with a fulcrum to get it in front of the tomb. How could these women roll it away? And besides, even if they had the strength and the fulcrum was available, how can they get past the guards? Now, if you were thinking in a worldly way, you would say, this was not very well thought out. They were going somewhere, and they didn't have any way to accomplish their task. Now, not to mention, of course, that their task was a task that wasn't necessary. They thought they were going to anoint a dead body and to keep it from corruption, when, of course, the body was alive and without corruption. Why did they go to the sepulcher not having any way to roll away the stone? Now, this is not an endorsement for doing foolish things or not thinking things out. But in a spiritual way, what this is pointing out is, with God all things are possible. Don't consider all the possibilities when it comes to doing good. Just do good. God will give you the strength to do it. Now, not foolishly. If there's something that's truly impossible to do and you say, well, God will help me, you know, he'll help me do something that obviously you have no call to do, that would not be appropriate. But it is appropriate, very much so, to have zeal and therefore to say, God will help me do this. I think this happens with priests all the time. I know it happens with me. And many priests that I've spoken with, that I've kind of had heart-to-hearts with, where we've met each other and seen that our struggles are so similar, have had the same phenomena occurred, where we have had no idea how we're going to roll away the stone, but we know we got to go do it. So somehow we go do it. This happens with you too. This is the reason this detail is there. Not because they were foolish and hadn't thought out the plan, but because their zeal and their love for their Savior, even their dead Savior, because in their minds he was dead, spurned them on. And God rewarded their zeal. So that's one detail that's very important. Every time I read this, I think they were going to do something that was impossible. And yet, they accomplished it in a manner of speaking, because of course they didn't have to roll away the stone, nor did they have to anoint the body. Remember this. Just do what's right. Don't think about whether or not it's possible. Just do what's right. You know, too many people in our world today, they're counting the cost about what other people, unbelievers or pseudo-believers, say, and they're adjusting the way they live their life. Don't do that. Instead, do what's right. I think this is an endorsement of doing what is right as a Christian, and considering that as far as the consequences, God will help you with. Here is another detail. Entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man seated at the right side, of course an angel, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. They were frightened. Why would they be frightened? One of the women with them was the Theotokos. She was certainly well acquainted with angels. She'd seen them many, many, who knows, hundreds of times. And they had been going to a sepulcher where there were guards who might have tried to kill them. They weren't afraid of that. Why were they afraid? That's an interesting question. I've thought about that. Have you thought about it? I think they were afraid because the impossible, the inexplicable happened. There was holiness in the air. God had resurrected himself of his own power, made his human flesh able to be alive forever. And they were witnesses of this event having happened. And it was too much for them. It was too fantastic. And so they were afraid. I think the humble person, when they encounter God, is afraid. Afraid in a way that draws them closer to God and opens their heart to God. Now, the non-humble person, the prideful person, when they truly encounter God, they're not just afraid, they're terrified. And many times in their terror, they turn away from God, such as the people of the Gergesenes that I've spoken to you many a time. But the humble person, the one seeking God, when they truly are visited by God, they're afraid. And that's what happened to them. These people were brave in any worldly sense. But then when they saw the angel, not that the angel would frighten them, they were afraid because of the implications. Could it be that their Savior was alive? This happens to us too. I think the overall theme of the 11 resurrectional gospels is how we gradually come to know the truth. It's a process of enlightenment. These faithful people who'd been with the Lord for 3 years during his ministry and seen great miracles happen and been prepared for this moment, when the moment came, it was too much for their mortal souls. So it took time for them to come to the realization that indeed Christ was risen. He is not here. Here's another detail, a wonderful detail. One would say, some say this is a special case. I don't think it is. I think we're all special cases. I think we all need special things. But here is a special thing that is applied to Peter. The angel says, go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Now some would say this selects Peter as being preeminent among the apostles and singles him out. So, you know, he's a very important man, so you make sure that he knows. I don't think that's it at all. I think it's because Peter had denied the Lord three times. Peter was wondering, as some of our hymns say, would he just go back to being a fisher of the deep? Was he no longer worthy to be a disciple of his Lord? And he was having those difficult thoughts. And so the angel expressly told the women to go to Peter and tell him that the Lord was risen, to comfort him. That definitely comforts me, because I know that there's times when I need things. Maybe I need more than you do on a given day. Maybe you need more than me. We're all special. We're all like Peter. We all need the Lord to visit us. And he will. He will visit us according to our need, according to our weakness, according to our belief, or our lack of belief. He will give us what we need for that moment. That's what this detail tells me. The Lord was thinking of Peter because Peter was really hurting. He'd done something really stupid and really terrible. And he was probably having an incredible time forgiving himself. I think there's not probably at all. He absolutely was just deeply despondent over this. But because of the greatness of his soul, he didn't closet himself away. He didn't go hang himself like Judas did. He stayed with the disciples, but he felt this deep burden in his soul. And the Lord knew that. So that's why the Lord said, go tell Peter. And not only that, but the Lord also appeared to Peter privately at the resurrection, on the day of the resurrection. He was the first of the apostles, not the first person, but the first of the apostles to see the Lord risen. And he saw him privately, probably as he was walking away from the tomb. And here's another detail, sort of similar to the second one. So they're told by the angel, you go quick, you go out and you go tell the apostles and tell Peter that he is risen and that he will go before you into Galilee and you shall see him as he told you before. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. They weren't afraid of the Jews. They'd already gone to the sepulcher. They weren't afraid of the soldiers. The soldiers could have tried to kill them. But the soldiers, of course, were either knocked senseless by the resurrection or had already fled. They were afraid because it was just such incredible news. So difficult to understand. So difficult to really fully believe because it was too wonderful. Now, St. Mark has this wonderful way of expressing himself that I think is different than the other evangelists. There's an immediacy. There's a real hurriedness in the way St. Mark speaks. They went out quickly. There's other places, especially in the early part of the gospel, where it says straightway, immediately. I think what we should learn from that is there is the Christian life is something we should act upon now, not later. Of course, in this case, they went out quickly because they were frightened. And they weren't ready to fully understand the resurrection. It took a few more things that day for the resurrection to be understood. It took the Lord appearing to the Theotokos, to St. Mary Magdalene, to Jesus, to Peter, and then to Luke and Cleopas. And as they were returning from Emmaus to the 11 that were gathered, it took all those things that day for it to finally sink in. He is risen. So it happens with us. Don't be too hard on yourself when it's just too difficult to believe something, but make sure that you go about believing it anyway. Now, if that sounds like a contradiction, like an oxymoron, it isn't for a Christian. Not at all. There are things that are just hard to completely understand in this life. And yet, we understand our God can make all things possible. So if you understand that, you understand that he created you so that you would know him, and that he will not abandon you, then even in dark moments, even when there are dark thoughts, even when there are difficulties that you don't find a way really to get out of at the moment. When your faith falters, you'll have that belief inside. That's why the women went to the tomb. Even though their hopes were dashed, they thought he was dead, they still went to the tomb. It really doesn't make any sense to go to the tomb. He's dead. But they wanted to honor him, of course. So remember that God will help you in all things, even as you don't understand how he's helping you. It happens quietly, usually silently, usually without our noticing it. But God helps us and enlightens us and strengthens us. So those details that I've explained in this gospel, I think, apply to this idea. God will help us. We will come to full enlightenment. Things that we don't think we can change, they'll change. Stuff that we don't know how to figure out, it'll get figured out. It will all work out to the good. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and under the ages of ages.